And welcome back to Quick Link Podcast on Sunday, the 3rd of April. It's show number 458. It's the day of De Ronde. We've got reports from both races there, as well as a roundup of the day's other action on your daily microdose of pro cycling news, covering tarmac, track, and between the tapes. But first of all, it's time to say happy birthday to the juiced up 1996 Tour de France winner Bjarne Riis, asterisk, to George Danford of Andy Schleck Emo Losh, and to Mark Donovan of Team DSM. Today, they turn an average of 34 and two-thirds, but the Danish fella doesn't count, so they're 23 each. Happy birthday, Georgia and Mark. Some updates from yesterday. Firstly, Filippo Fiorelli's seventh place at Volta Limburg hasn't yet been credited to him, and at time of recording, the main stat sites all have the Bardiano riders all finishing DNF. However, Fiorelli has posted his finish line photo on Instagram with a comment, "I know well that luck is much more, but there is a bit of regret today." So he's seventh to us. No comment yet from team or race accounts, and the UCI haven't published anything as of 6 p.m. Sunday UK time. Sophie Lewis and Oscar Nielsen-Julien are your new National Omniums champions. Nia Evans and Maddie Leach, silver and bronze in the Women's Championship. Mark Stewart and Will Tidball, silver and bronze respectively, in the Men's. Finn Crockett of Ribble Weltite went 2-for-2 in the Scottish Alba Series at Alford near Aberdeen yesterday. Three Natby wins for him so far in 2022, including Cape and Ray last weekend. Today, Dainham Trophy was the only Natby action, 105 kilometres of that up in Doncaster. Winning there was Toby Barnes of Wiv Sungond in a two-up break with Adam Mitchell of Cycling Sheffield. Jim Brown joining his teammate Barnes on the podium, winning the bunch kick for third. That's the second win of the year for the team formerly known as Canyon DHB after they won the season opener at Perths in February. Youth Tour of Scotland news, and it was Triple T day to start us off today. Team Wales won the boys' race before their rider Max Bufton took the afternoon road stage. Yorkshire won the girls' team time trial, extending Kat Ferguson's GC lead, with Erin Boothman of Team Scotland winning the road stage. It all concludes tomorrow with a kermesse. In today's action, Maud Harif Saleh won the bunch sprint on stage 3 of the Tour of Thailand for the Terengganu Polygon team. Raymond Crader of Team UKYO was second over the line, and he moves into the GC lead, courtesy of the bonus seconds. Alan Banaszek of Masowski Serspolski is the points leader. Nathan Earl is the king of the mountains. Three stages to go. Now over to the big one and De Ronde, the Tour of Flanders. Five previous winners on the start list today, including the last four, Casper Asgreen, Mathieu van der Poel, Alberto Betil, and Nicky Terpstra, as well as the 2015 winner Alexander Kristoff. 272 kilometres awaiting the riders from Antwerp to Oudenaarde. Nothing of note until two sectors of cobbles 100k in, then the first of three times up Oudenaarde coming 135 kilometres into the race, and then it all goes mad. 18 bergs in total, five of them cobbled, 10 other sectors of pavé. For the first part of the race, you'll hear from Peter at PBX Scribes. Then we move to Katie at Right Bike Repeat for the middle section. And then Lena drives us home with the finish. You can find her on Twitter at Riathena. Links to their Twitter handles are in the show notes. Here's the gang.
It was cold conditions, with everyone wrapped up and barely a bare leg in sight, as the peloton left Antwerp and headed over to Oudenaarde for the Ronde van Vlaanderen, a 272.5-kilometre trek which featured multiple ascents of the Oudenaarde and Paterberg. Although there's a fairly sizable peloton, there were two names listed who were unable to make the start, alongside, obviously, Israel Premier Tech, who couldn't even field a squad because of illness and injury. And the two non-starters were Søren Andersen from Team DSM and Wesley Crader. For the first time, I've actually watched a race from the very, very start and saw a neutralised zone, which was entertaining for me, with a Lotto Soudal rider who had a mechanical with his electronic shifters, I prefer manual for good reason, who clearly had forgotten the kick method of getting the shifters to work again. The first break was really instigated by Astana, with a Movistar rider joining, which was Manuel Libuaro and Matthias Jorgensen. Not Matteo, the Norsegaard version, but counter moves kind of brought them back. Although Astana were ever on the front foot, trying to make up with attacking intent what they were losing with Johnny Racist in their team. Eventually, nine riders went free. There were Quignard from Lotto Soudal, Stan de Wolf from AG2R, Tom Bowley from Cofidis, Taco van der Hoorn, ever in the breakaway from Intermarché Wanty-Gobert, Buaro, who made that first move, Max Kanter from Movistar, Luca Mazzato from BNB, Passions from Bingol, and De Wilde from Sportflandern. They got away with about 258 kilometers to go, and every time the peloton looked like it was setting up, EF Education, Nippo, Easy Post, UnoX, or DSM tried to stick a rider free, but nothing really, really stuck, and eventually the peloton just sat up and let them go. Unfortunately, Pogacar and Campbell Stewart went down on a corner and got a bit close to the tarmac and smelt what that felt like. And that was just going into a tight corner. No real damage because it's quite slow and low impact. Johannessen, the winner of the Tour de l'Avenir last year, had a mechanical. And other than that, there was Imanol Aviti doing the hokey cokey, going in and out of a peloton trying to get a good bike sorted. And then, yeah, the group had about 3:30-ish. It was staying constant with Alpecin, UAE, Jumbo-Visma, and Quickstep Alpha Vinyl, really monitoring things. We did see at one point the fan club for Stefan Kung. And that song does live in my head rent-free, although I've butchered it deliberately so it doesn't get back there, and to save you folks from hearing it, unless you really want to check it out because it is actually really catchy. I'm going to leave you with 200 kilometers to go, and the gap is 4:07 to the 9 riders free.
And as it so often does with monuments, everything stayed the same for quite a while after that. The breakaway hit the first cobbled sector, the Pas de Strat, with 167 kilometers to go, and the peloton followed around 4 minutes later. The leg warmers and jackets were coming off, and Tim de Klerk continued to pull on the front of the peloton, taking turns along with Julien Vermote of Absolute Fenix and Eduardo Affini from Jumbo-Visma. The first significant landmark of the day was the Alpe d'Huez, and it was the first time we had a flavour of the old days of racing, with the crowd back out in force after 2 years away from the roadside. The noise was incredible, and yes, I have to say, there were some goosebumps. Next year, I aim to be among that crowd. Other teams took some turns at the front, with EF and Bora Hansgrohe putting in a shift, and also Ben Swift for the Ineos Grenadiers was visible riding at the front for a while too. The pressure in the peloton ramped up going into the turn towards the Achterberg climb. The shift from the wide freeway into a narrow side street triggered a frantic fight for position, and as they took the turn, a crash occurred, involving Lotte Soudal's Pete Allegaert and UnoX's Tobias Johannessen. Thankfully, both seemed okay at the time. With the nerves building, there are a couple more crashes and a bit of cyclocross action, as riders used gutters and grass verges to try and stay in touch with the bunch. Lewis Askey of Groupama FDJ was visible doing some work at the front, the British youngster having a great classic season so far. Trek Segafredo took over on the front of the bunch, and there was disaster for Astana's favourite racist, Gianni Moscon, as he got his jersey caught in his rear derailleur, and everybody liked that. Bora's Jonas Koch slipped off the front by himself, and as the race headed into the Molenberg climb, there was another compression of the bunch. And with Koch going up ahead, Jumbo-Visma's Nathan van Hooijdonk took his opportunity to attack off of the cobbled climb. He rode down Koch, and the two formed a chasing group of two, with the bunch closing in behind.
And starting with my part of the Ronde van Vlaanderen recap, we had a super IQ move from Intermarché Wanty-Gobert Matériau, because Tom Devrien had Alan Key with himself, and it was one of the most funniest and interesting, and I suppose fast, wheel changes I've ever seen. So, all in for his leader. Then, a group reaching to Hooijdonk and Koch, consisting of Mats Pedersen for Trek, Stenek Stüber for Quickstep, Alex Kirsch, Trek Segafredo, Yannick Steimle for Quickstep, Gianni Fermich for Alpecin, Alberto Bettiol for EF Education First, Tim van Dijk for Jumbo-Visma, Ivan Garcia Cortina for Movistar, Olivier Legac for FDJ, Marco Haller for Bora Hansgrohe, and Ben Turner for Ineos. Then, 81 kilometers from the finish, a crash in the peloton involving Christophe Laporte for Jumbo, a few Lotto riders, and Sheffield for Ineos. Laporte looked a bit roughed up and had to do a lot of work to get back into the peloton, because the tempo of the peloton was quite high, because UAE and Agir Désert clearly wanted to catch up to the group. Then, on the Canadian Berg, the peloton suffered some losses and several riders tried to close the gap to Group 2. All in all, around 30 riders remain from the peloton and are what I will now call Group 3. Tim Wellens, Connor Swift and Kevin Genietz are now in no man's land between Groups 2 and 3. And also Niels Pollitt and Johan Jakobs also tried their luck in no man's land, but were unsuccessful. With 62 kilometers to the finish, Wellens, Genietz and Swift were able to catch up to Group 2. And all in all, it was a very strong group and they had a minute between themselves and the peloton. And I thought, oh, that's quite ambitious. Now, UAE would have to do quite a lot of work, but they had some support from Alpecin, who were clearly all in from Mathieu van der Poel, despite having Gianni Vermeersch in Group 2. But Mathieu van der Poel was Plan A, Plan B and Plan C, and UAE and Alpecin did everything they could to bring the groups back together. Going into the Quadamont, exactly this happened. The groups were quite close, and then it happened what I suppose needed to happen. Tadej Pogacar began swinging his mega deck in front of the peloton, and the rest of the peloton could only pray. As always, he was quite at the pointy end of the race, and only Kasper Asgreen managed to keep his wheel. He closed the last meters of the gap to Group 2, zoomed over Group 2 like it was nothing, and managed to catch the last remaining members of Group 1, namely Max Kantar and Taco van der Hoorn. Then a very, very strong pull by Ben Turner, and Group 2 managed to catch up to Kantar, Pogacar and van der Hoorn again. And altogether, 30 riders make it together over the Gravelmont. Dylan van Baarle and Fred Wright from Bahrain managed to take a few seconds from the rest of the group of 30 riders. Then the Copenberg. Pogacar is just as strong and only Mathieu van der Poel can close the gap. Kasper Asgreen is very, very unlucky and he had a mechanical on the Copenberg. Would have been very interesting because he could keep Pogacar's wheel, but luck was not on his side today. Then Valentin Madouas managed to keep up with Mathieu van der Poel, and van der Poel, Pogacar and Madouas make it together over the Copenberg and managed to catch Fred Wright and Dylan van Baarle on the Tijenberg. Wright and Madouas are very, very struggling, trying to hold wheel, and I honestly thought they were done for. Several riders tried to attack from the chasing group, notably Kung, Benoit and Stratnik, but we saw no real success there. Then, the last time over the Eau de Quardemont, Wright, Madouas and Van Baarle can't keep up, and it's a very, very hard fight on the Paterberg. Mathieu van der Poel needs to give his all, and for a few seconds it looked like Tadej Pogacar could manage to go over the Paterberg alone, but van der Poel took deep, gave it his all, and he managed to keep up. That was a very important move in this race and destroyed plan A for Tadej Pogacar, who had clearly hoped to go alone over the Paterberg and finish into Oudenaarde with his time trial abilities. Both worked quite well together going into Oudenaarde, and it looked like a clear two-man sprint until it didn't look any more like a two-man sprint. Coming through the Devil's Banner, the mind games began. And if I say mind games, I mean a game between who has the bigger balls of steel, between Mathieu van der Poel and Tadej Pogacar. MVDP doesn't want to lead out Pogacar, and Pogacar respects Mathieu van der Poel's sprint and really doesn't want to start his own sprint as first. So it happened what I suppose needed to happen. They got slower and slower and slower. And at 200 meters to the finish, it was nearly a track stand. Mind games. And then, I hope you didn't forget, our chasers, Dylan van Baarle, Valentin Madouas and Fred Wright, because they never gave up. Many people would think you could give up with Tadej Pogacar and Mathieu van der Poel going to a finish, but those three never gave up and closed in very fast. If you didn't see it, imagine Pogacar and van der Poel nearly at a standstill and the three chasers coming hot into the finish, seeing their chance, and then it happened. Madouas and van Baarle boxed in Pogacar beautifully, textbook-like. Mathieu van der Poel started his sprint, put all the watts on the pedals he could, and that was it. He took the win. Beautifully. Tadej and Mathieu are both two riders who are known for their dominance and for their daring attacks and for their nerves of steel. However, in this race, Mathieu van der Poel was simply more clever, more experienced. He's several years older than Tadej, and he excels in these kind of classics, where Tadej concentrated more on GC races so far. Then Dylan van Baarle and Valentin Madouas, with all their experience, reacted perfectly in this sprint. They saw the opportunity, took it, and got rewarded with second and third for that. I've no doubt that this loss will hurt Tadej Pogacar severely, but he will only get more experienced, stronger, and I truly believe even more wishes from it. All in all, very scary to imagine from an already incredibly strong 23-year-old. And I have absolutely no doubt that he will win the Ronde van Vlaanderen someday. To summarize the end results, first, Mathieu van der Poel for Alpecin Phoenix, second, Dylan van Baarle for Ineos, third, Valentin Madouas for Groupama FDJ, fourth, Tadej Pogacar, fifth, Stefan Küng, sixth, Dylan Teuns, seventh, Fred White, eighth, Mats Pedersen, ninth, Christophe Laporte, and tenth, Alexander Kristoff. This edition of the Ronde was incredible, and I think it will remain one of my all-time favorites. And I, at the moment, can't think of a race that will be better this season. I loved everything about it. But the season is long, and I hope we will see very many more great races.
Once again, thank you to intern Peter, Katie, and Lena. Links to their Twitter handles are in the show notes. Onto the women's race, 159 kilometres for them. The first section of Pave, 45k in, 11 in total, including five cobbled bergs, the Mullenberg, Koppenberg, Tyenberg, Oude Quaremont, and the 11th and final climb of the day, the 8% Platterberg, before a 12k run into town. Seven previous winners on the start list, defending champion Annemiek van Vleuten, who also won 10 years previously to that in 2011, as well as the 2020 and 2019 winners Chantal van der Broek-Black and Marta Bastianelli. Corinne Lebecki, Elisa Longo-Borghini, Ellen van Dijk and Marianne Vos all signing on as previous winners in Oudenaard this morning. 2018 winner Anna van der Breggen at the race, of course, in the team car for SD Works. Leanne Lippert of DSM and Nina Kessler of Bike Exchange, neither of them at sign-on this morning, both feeling ill. After a touch of wheels on the neutralised zone, a group of four went clear straight from the delayed flag drop. Clara Honsinger of EF, Sophie van Rooyen of Park Hotel, Olivia Barou of Valcar and Maria Martins of Le Col. They briefly had Christina Berlova of Lotto Soudal for company, but she dropped back to the bunch. Ahead of the first cobbles, Michaela McPherson of HP Health, Bingo Jewel Naomi Dierouk and Lotte Pepelia and Catherine de Klerk of Lotto Soudal were a minute ahead of the bunch trying to bridge to the quartet up the road, but they were still 1.5 minutes from making contact. But McPherson couldn't hold on to the pace of the chasers, and again, she ended up back in the bunch. Tiffany Cromwell of Canyon SRAM got across from the peloton to group 2 after the first cobbles with almost 60k raced. Riders sliding out of the front groups over Wolvenberg and the Mullenberg and are coming together behind what eventually became a front 2 of Clara Honsinger of EF Tipco and Olivia Barrow of Valcar. The front group added Marit Rijmakers of HB Health, Camilla Alessio of Seretizit and Maike van der Duin of Le Col to their ranks. One chaser, Valerie de May of Liv, she was at 110, the bunch at 130 with 50k left to race and a lull in proceedings ahead of the Koppenberg. That climb brought the break back within striking distance and their day was over, 35k from home. Ahead of the Kreuzberg, a group of 11 opened up a gap. In there, Bertizzolo, Maggieris, Confalonieri, Nieuwedome, van der Duin, Henderson, Sierra, Alessio, Chapman, Barrow and Rijmakers. And they shed van der Duin at Oude Quaremont, where it all properly kicked off. Annemiek van Vleuten, Chantal van der Broek-Black and Lotte Kopecky moving to the fore. And going into the final 10k, we had a group of six. Kopecky, Nieuwedome, Reusser, Chapman, van der Broek-Black and van Vleuten. Six became three as van Vleuten, Kopecky and van der Broek-Black opened the taps on the flat run into Oudenaard. Two SD Works riders in there, sandwiching van Vleuten from Movistar. It went to the three up, van Vleuten leading it onto the wide finishing straight, with van der Broek-Black coming round with 5.50 to go, hugging the right-hand barrier, Kopecky sat third wheel, van der Broek-Black upping the pace at 300, van Vleuten coming to her left, moving round, but Kopecky launching into the middle of the road, both of them passed van der Broek-Black. Kopecky passed van Vleuten at the 100-metre board, she was clear by 75 and took it by two bike lengths for the first Belgian winner of the Ronde since 2010 in the women's race. Lotte Kopecky of SD Works, resplendent as champion, champion of Belgium, champion of De Ronde, adding to her win from Strade Bianchi last month. Annemiek van Vleuten taking second for Movistar, third for Chantal van den Broek-Black, as Estie Werks got two riders on the podium. That's her best result of the year. Arlena Sierra winning a six-way kick to take fourth for Movistar, Marlene Reusser fifth for Estie Werks, then Cecily Utrecht-Ludwig, Grace Brown, Cassie Nieuwedoma, and Brody Chapman. Marta Bastianelli leading the bunch home for 10th. They were 1:10 down. Next up on the Women's World Tour is Amstel Gold Race next Sunday, but before that, we have Shell de Prix on Wednesday. Elisa Balsamo, 27th today, coming home in that Bastianelli group. She continues to lead the Women's World Tour standings, moving to 1,536 points. Kopecky stays second. She's now up to 1,360 with today's win. Lorena Wiebes stays third overall. She's on 720. She DNF'd today. Staying in Belgium, and there's a double day to wrap it all up at Le Triptyque Monte Chateau today. Lorenzo Milesi of DSM Development putting yesterday's stinker out of his mind with a win in the morning's 14-kilometre time trial. Alex Segert of Lotto Soudal was at 2. Per Strand Hagenes of Jumbo Visma at 17. Fourth for Enzo Pellegni of FDJ Continental at 19 seconds. Max Walker fifth for Trinity Racing at 24 seconds. That meant that Pellegni leaped Frog Stan Freetime into the GC lead with a 36-second advantage for the afternoon's road stage. That was won by Per Strand Hagenes, who finishes second overall. Enzo Pellegni wins GC by 27 seconds for the biggest win of his career so far. In Italy, Trofeo Piva on the under-23 calendar. That went the way of Martin Marcellucci of Bardiani, Marco Frigo of Israel Academy second, German Dario Gomez of the Colombian team Tierra del Atlas, he was in third, and a British lad, Mason Holliman, was fourth. He races for Israel Academy. And just round the corner at Giro de Primavera, Emil Herzog of AutoAider won that solo in the prestigious junior race. He was being chased by a group of three. Taking second there was Vlad van Mechelen of Lotus. Matteo Gross, Herzog's teammate, joined him on the podium in third. And fourth went to Michael Leonard of Team Franco Ballerini. And finally, Ollie Peace of Tofauti Everyone Active, but he was guesting for Fencham Mass. He won the overall at the four-day Vuelta a la Comarsas Juniors race in Murcia near Alicante. He won the opening stage, then held the GC lead from soup to cheese. Tomorrow, Itzulia, Tour of the Basque Country, begins its seven-day journey across the Basque region of northern Spain, from Hondarribia to Arrate, racing over 882 kilometres. A lumpy 7.5 kilometre time trial gets us underway tomorrow, right along the coast. There's three ramps, one of them cobbled, and there's actually a classified climb at San Telmo coming 3.2 kilometres in. It has a section that's 12%. As it's a World Tour race, all of those teams are there. The four Spanish Pro Conti teams are invited, as are Total Energies. There's no Alpecin Fenix. We'll be back on Monday with the news from that time trial. Plus, there's an interview coming up as well. We'll see you then. Take care. Bye. You've been listening to QuickLink Podcast, your daily microdose of pro cycling news and results. You can find us across social media at QuickLinkPod, or you can contact us by emailing show@quicklinksports.com. Share the show, and we'll be back with you tomorrow. Bye now.